Hey, everybody. Welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. How's it going, Lloyd?
It is going okay, Bill. It's been quite the week. I'm happy that I'm able to talk about video games today. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm also wearing my Winnipeg Jets hat because we are officially in the playoffs, which starts next week. So I'm happy about that as well. So that's all that's been going on in the world of Lloyd these days.
That's when you started growing your beard. Last year was for the playoffs, right?
Playoffs. That's right. So but then I did shave.
If the Jets lose,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Nothing, because this isn't a playoff beard. This is a COVID beard.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we've got that all out of the way, if you are listening to this on your favorite podcast player, and you're like, "What? Why beard? Lloyd has a beard? What is this nonsense?" Head on over to nerdnest.tv and click on subscribe, and then you can hang out with us every single Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We sit down here and we talk about video games, all of the things that are happening on Stadia. If you're here with us live and you want to make sure that we see your message, you want to make sure that you get to be part of the show, use that super chat feature. We will respond to each and every super chat at the end of the show. And of course, there's the join button. There's the applause button. If you're not here with us live, click on all that stuff, figure out how it works. Let's get into the show. Lloyd, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing a fair bit across all my different platforms. On Stadia, the game that I've been playing the most of is Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil Village. I completed the game. It was one of my favorite experiences that I've had in the last little while. I love the game from start to finish. But man, does it get good, like near the end when things are all coming together and all this stuff? I don't want to say a masterclass, but what a good effort in storytelling in this game. The way that they kind of give you clues as you're playing through the game of things which come up later. It was really, really good. I just love the game from start to finish. It took me, I'm trying to get my screenshot to see how long it took me for my first playthrough. I haven't finished a second playthrough yet. I'm going to go through on a harder difficulty and stuff like that. Just going to the bottom here. There it is. Yeah, it took me almost 10 hours to make it through the game my first time. And I'm going to have some fun going through a second time. One of the cool things is when you beat Resident Evil Village, it unlocks a new difficulty mode if you want to play through on the hardest difficulty, which some people do. But it also unlocks the Mercenaries mode, which is kind of like a wave-based shooter, essentially. Where you're going through small environments, killing an X number of enemies that show up, whether they're regular shambling zombies, the more lichen-like characters that we've seen in all the trailers, or some of the bigger enemies that you get into the game, which I'm not going to spoil. It's pretty fun. And as you go through the waves, you get points based on your kill chain. So if you keep chaining together multiple kills, you get bonus points. Whenever you kill an enemy, they drop money. You can use that money between rounds to buy better weapons, to upgrade your weapons and things like that. So I've been having some fun with that as well. And also when you beat the game, you get these completion points. And every other playthrough that you do, whether it's through Mercenaries or whether it's through playing through the game again, you get more completion points, which then allows you to unlock new weapons, which aren't normally available in the game. But it also allows you to unlock unlimited ammo. One of the things is unlimited ammo for the grenade launcher is like 80,000 completion points. When I beat the game, I had 72,000. It's like, okay, I need a little bit more. So there's benefit for going through and playing through the game multiple times if you want to explore every nook and cranny and do that stuff. So what an amazing game. What an amazing experience. And I probably played the game now for about 15 hours, 16 hours in total, maybe 17, 18. It's been more than the 10 hours, obviously, that I played the game. And I've had zero issues. I've had no lag. I've had no breakdown in the video. The game just looks crisp, clean, and lag free, which is pretty fantastic, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there playing the game, especially when I look at my friends list after the game came out. It was like every second person was playing Resident Evil Village. So it's really great to see that Stadia can continue to keep up with demand and keep all the blades chugging along when big games like Resident Evil 8 come out, because, man, what an experience from start to finish.
Yeah, I haven't played Resident Evil Village yet. I'm still playing Resident Evil 7. I'm really, really enjoying that. But I'm very much looking forward to playing Resident Evil Village. I can't believe, like, that extra mode afterwards. That seems like a completely different game, and I love that Capcom added that in. But as far as like games to show off what Stadia can do, this is the one. Like, before, it was, we thought it was going to be Cyberpunk, but Cyberpunk, as much as I enjoyed the time that I spent playing that game, it has serious issues, and those are serious issues that aren't going to be fixed for a long, long time.
Right.
For Resident Evil 8, it seems like this is the one. This is the one that says, hey, look at how well this works. You can spend $60 on a game, and if you pre-order it and you're in the US, then you get another Stadia Premier Edition, which I like. These things are filling up my house, but
you could store some in my place, Bill, if you want.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't know, shipping to Canada is expensive, which is probably why they didn't include you guys.
Exactly.
But the idea that people can spend $60, get a game like Resident Evil 8, which by all accounts is just absolutely fantastic, and get a free console along with it. And then even if you don't get the free console, if you just buy the game like tomorrow, and you don't have to spend $500 on a box to put underneath your TV. You don't have to have a bunch of money spent on getting the new GPUs, which nobody can get. You can play this next-gen game right now on Stadia. And I've seen the comparisons of people saying, you know, oh, this is what it looks like on Xbox. This is what it looks like on PlayStation. This is what it looks like on Stadia. And yeah, it does look a little worse on Stadia, but unless you're looking at them side by side, you're not going to notice those things. You're just going to be absorbed in the gameplay.
Exactly.
Resident Evil 8 is a perfect example of why Stadia is a fantastic platform, and I'm really excited to see where it keeps going.
Yeah, exactly. I was just laughing at a joke that William Millard in the chat room said, instead of a cheese room like in my Skyrim home, my real home has a Stadia Premiere room. Because the big joke from Skyrim is that there's cheese everywhere, so people were gathering all the cheese and dropping it into one part of their house just because they'd have piles of cheese everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you can do that with your Stadia Premier Editions, William. That's awesome. One thing that I want to clarify from last week, there was a question in the chat room that says, do I need to play 7 before playing 8? And I said, probably not really. I mean, so far as I'm playing through the game, it's just a continuation of the story. Well, if you want zero spoilers for 7, if you don't want anything that happened in 7 to be unveiled until you've seen it, maybe complete 7 before 8. There is a little bit more of a tie-in as you get to like the final third or quarter of the game that I obviously didn't realize, because last week I had only played about 4 or 5 hours or whatever it was. So when I got to the end of it, it's like, ah, damn, okay, I shouldn't have said that. Not that it's a huge deal, because everybody knows kind of what the main protagonist in 7 was, or at least if you watched any of the videos. It's not a person or an entity. It's a I guess it is an entity. It's fungal. So that's kind of a living organism, a hive organism or whatever. So there's a little bit of that in 8. So if you want zero spoilers at all, complete 7 before you play an 8. But if you don't care about the story that much from 7 and you just want to jump into play 8, favorite Resident Evil, I think. I've played almost all of them. There's maybe one or two that I never played or didn't complete. I think this is my favorite one. It's going to be a toss-up between 4 and this one. 4 was such Just an amazing thing when that came to GameCube, because it's like, oh my god, it's a mature rated title on a Nintendo platform. This is impossible. And playing through that was just absolutely amazing. I haven't played Resident Evil 2 Remake. I hope it comes to Stadia, because I'd love to play that, because I did love Resident Evil 2 when it was originally came out. But yeah, I really, really like this game. And I think the reason why I like it is because there's more open spaces that you're running through. It's not just like you're not locked to like a house all the time, or like you break into a police station in some of the other games and then you're in there until you solve puzzles. There's a lot more that you can do. When you get about halfway through the game, there's things that appear on your map. There's animals that appear on your map, and you have to hunt animals to get their meat. And then you can use that to create dishes at the vendor that will make your character better. And then there's also these big golden treasure chest icons on the map that you have to figure out a way to get. And there's some things that are either that you can either sell for a lot of money, or things that are new weapons and all this stuff. I love everything about Resident Evil Village, and I hope that when Resident Evil 9 comes out, it's more like Village than all the other ones, because I, for some reason, this game spoke to me a lot more than all the other Resident Evils that have come out in recent memories. So so happy that this came to Stadia. It was such an amazing experience playing it pretty much fully streamed on my big screen TV. I played a little bit on my backbone, and then I played a little bit on my monitor here, and it's just it's so great. So much fun to be able to play that game here on Stadia.
Absolutely. Let's shift gears and talk about this. There was a gameindustry.biz article where Nate Ahern, I may be saying that wrong, Nate Ahern, who works for Stadia, basically he was being interviewed and talking about things. There was one quote that a lot of the media got a hold of, and they were like, you know, he said it's alive and well. He said this. It's not like unprompted. He tweeted out, Stadia's doing great. And then everybody's like, was like, boy, there's nothing like instilling confidence in saying I'm still alive. And I was like, really? Like, that's really the direction that you want to go? He was asked, how are things going? You've had some setbacks. And he was like, yeah, we're doing fine. We're still doing our thing. And everybody kind of latched onto that and said that it was, I don't know, cringy or some nonsense like that. Yeah. I found that to be ridiculous.
Was he holding a fiddle and playing as he was saying it? Like, all the comments, people thought, like, it's just all the crazy comments that happen on YouTube and Reddit and stuff all the time. Twitter is disappointing, but this is good to know. We got news a while ago. We didn't really talk about it last week. Obviously, we're aware of it, that John Justice left Stadia. Everyone's like, oh my god, the leader is gone. And it's like, well, that's what happens in Google. Google is very much a mobile organization where team leads and project leads are moving from project to project often, not all the time, but often. It turns out that John completely left for another company, it looks like. But if you want to find out more about that, you can just do a Google search, even though he's no longer at Google. But I mean, that doesn't really mean anything. I think to me, all the people that have left Stadia recently, it's all related to Stadia realizing that, hey, we don't want to make our own games. This is a lot of work. There's years and years and years of effort without a guaranteed outcome, where if we do this smart and we invest in companies like Capcom to bring Resident Evil and all the other great games that we've got over the last little bit, it made more sense. But all the people at Google that wanted to be making games, well, they want to keep making games, so they go somewhere else to make games. So we've really heard nothing since BG or SG&E shut down. So to have this as kind of the first one after all of these other things where people are like, see, Google's dead or Stadia's dead. It's good to get this news. Obviously not directly. They didn't post a video on Google blog saying, hey, Stadia's still alive. Here we are. But through interviews like this is how big companies tell the story. So this is a great thing to see. And it proves kind of what Bill and I were saying, like, just because they're not making their own games doesn't mean that Stadia is doomed. There's many ways to run a business. Amazon Luna is not making their own games. Other parts of Amazon are making games, but we haven't really seen much fruit from that, because that just shows how hard making games is for an organization that isn't used to making games. So, this is good news. This is really, really good.
Yeah, he also talked a little bit about the Stadia Makers program. And one thing that he said in the interview that I really liked, he said that an important distinction about Stadia Makers is to highlight that by design, we don't expect any studios to exclusively publish their games on Stadia. Rather, the program is designed to support studios in bringing their Unity-based games to launch on Stadia in addition to other platforms. I think that is really, really fantastic. There's nothing that I... Okay, I'm sure that there's things that I despise more. But one of the things that I really, really don't like is when a platform holder says, here is a hat full of money. Make your game on our platform. Don't make it anywhere else. Sony is famous for doing that. Xbox is doing that with, it's slightly different with them buying Bethesda, but you know, that kind of thing, I always am not a fan of that. Like Nintendo just did that with Capcom and Monster Hunter Rise. Like they got a year of exclusivity on the Switch. I'm never a fan of that. I always want everybody to be able to play the game on whatever platform that they prefer. I personally prefer to play games on Stadia. This is somebody who has a Switch, a pretty beefy PC. I got an Xbox Series X. I still play on Stadia more than anything else because it's Same. The most convenient. I don't have to install anything. I can play on any screen in my house. It's just really, really great. And the fact that Google is not trying to strong arm these indie studios into making their games exclusive on Stadia, I think is a great thing.
Well, I mean, just look at the news that has come out of the Epic versus Apple thing. We found out that for a game to be cross-play on PlayStation, the developers or the publishers have to pay PlayStation for the number of people that are using it because of lost sales and all that stuff. That's not Stadia. Stadia isn't about putting up roadblocks and things like that. So it was really good to see so much focus on Stadia Makers, because that is what you want a young company to do. You want them to get dev kits out there into the wild, to get younger studios, not young in age of the people working there, but newer game studios that are really jazzed about new technology working on Stadia, releasing games, and then don't limit them to exclusivity. Because why would you want someone to only sell a game on your platform? That isn't good for the platform right now, because there's just so few people that are using Stadia. If you spend 5 years making a game and then you're only selling it on Stadia, it's probably unlikely without some financial help from Google that you're going to make back your development costs right now. In a couple of years, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think there's going to be enough of an ecosystem on Stadia where you can release a game just on Stadia and it will do well enough because there's going to be enough people playing it. Once streamers, players get it through their heads that they can buy a game and just click a link and play it right there, and they don't have to worry about downloads and updates and all that stuff, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have Stadia as an additional place to play games, that you don't just have to buy a $500 box and that's the only place you play video games nowadays. It's nice that we have the luxury of having cloud streaming on top of physical boxes that we have to buy.
Yeah, Johan Anderson in chat said something I think is it's a good jumping off point. He said, I feel like there is a hesitation for Stadia. What should they do to ensure players to commit to it? Otherwise, maybe there'll be a burnout. So they kind of talked about this a little bit in the interview as well. He said cloud-based gaming is still relatively new, but in a lot of ways, it mirrors early adoption of VR gaming. If you're familiar with the technology adoption cycle, I'd say we're currently in the early adopter phase, moving into the early majority phase. It hasn't quite reached that watershed moment yet, but Google is currently pushing the boundaries of the tech, and it has the strength of brand awareness and funding to really kickstart the field. It's not something that will happen overnight. It's a slow burn, which is where the title of this particular video came from. This, I think, is a very good example with some slight tweaks to it. So, you know, we talk about VR, and a lot of people are hesitant to try to buy VR for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's extremely expensive. Like, you have to have a pretty beefy, like, if you want to really do it, you got to have a pretty beefy machine, and then you got to buy a VR headset. You can't go into a store. I mean, I'm talking about me. I'm not going to go into a store and try on a VR headset that other people, I don't even like touching the controllers that they have in the, like, you know, when they have like the kiosk, right, and there's a switch there. I don't even want to touch those controllers. That's gross. And I'm going to put a thing on my head that other people have been putting on their head. So it doesn't really give you a good way to try it.
Right.
So when you talk about cloud gaming, I don't think that's a very good comparison at that point, because it's really easy to try with Stadia. Like, you can try, there's free games like Destiny 2, Bomberman. We're about to have another free game with the Animal, Super Animal Royale. And I think there's one more that I'm not thinking of, but, you know, we've got free games where you can try it out and see if it works, and it costs you absolutely nothing. All you have to have is a free Gmail account. So the barrier to entry is tough. But then you, and I know people are like, Bill, you're forgetting about Oculus Quest. Yeah, but you still got to try it before you want to buy it. People don't want to buy it without having ever tried it.
Right.
So when you talk about the cloud, there must be some other barrier to getting people on board. And I think that that's just bad press. And the bad press is absolutely bad. It's almost like, I don't understand this, but it's almost like there are people who just want it to fail just so that they can point at something and laugh. Like, you look, like, I saw a Kotaku article, and they were like, I'm not even going to get into it, but I saw this Kotaku article, and they were just kind of pointing and laughing. And I was like, man, you're so friggin' negative all the time. Yeah. Like, what is the point of what you're doing here? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I can understand if it was a disaster and didn't work, but Stadia has absolutely worked wonderfully from day one. From day one, from the very first moment when I was live streaming and Google sent me the code during my live stream so that I could try it out, it has worked incredibly well, and I've always been impressed by it. So what do you think is that speed bump that they're running into? Because it's a little different than VR.
Yeah, what I think it is people are afraid of newness. People want to be, they want their purchase to be validated. So if I paid $500 for this console, I bought my Series X, it's right beside me, I paid $500 for it. Well, the PS5 better fail, right? And Stadia better go away, and Luna better just shut down, because I want my $500 purchase to be worth it. A lot of people think that way, and that's never been me. I, like, every generation, I've been lucky enough that I've had the extra income to buy all the consoles. If I want to buy a game, or play a game rather, like, I've bought like the last two generations of Sony consoles when a new Ratchet and Clank came out. I bought my PS3 for Ratchet and Clank. I bought my PS4. I wanted a PS4. I couldn't get it at launch, and it just turned out that when I got one, the first game I played was Ratchet and Clank. I'm going to do the same thing for PS5. I have no problem buying a console to do that. There's a lot of people that can't. They have to choose one, and then it's their stake in the ground, rah-rah, rally behind my team, everything else sucks. And then you add on the fact that this is a new medium. It's not buying a box and putting it in your house. It's not going to a game store and seeing Stadia boxes. So that's even more, like, alien to them and scary to them. And to me, it's it it screams about or makes me realize or remember what happened back when Netflix was new. And everyone's like, Netflix is stupid. Movies look terrible. No one's going to do this. I'm going to be renting and buying movies for the rest of my life. And then Blockbuster closed down because this really is the future. And people that were hesitant had to eventually get on board. So I think that's going to happen. And that's going to happen over the next coming years. It's not going to be an immediate change to people's buying habits.
And you are absolutely right. It is going to take time for people to either get over that hump or for something to push them in the direction. Something like maybe Resident Evil 8, where you buy the game and you get the free quote-unquote console.
Right.
But for the most part, I do think that this is something that's going to take a very, very long time. And for Google to come out and say, this is a slow burn. We are not in a rush. This almost verifies what you and I have been saying all along, that Google's in it for the long term. They're just putting their heads down and working and ignoring all of the haters out there. And I think that that's really the best way to go, because when you engage, it ends up going bad for anybody who's trying to be on the defensive. So I think I think that this was a good article. It's definitely you can definitely look at it and say, oh, these are some positive things. And you can also look at it and you can twist the words and make it super negative if you want to do that too. I just think that I prefer to avoid negativity. So most of the time, I just kind of ignore that stuff.
100%. And it's like when SG&E closed down, there was many community members, many people outside the community that basically were shouting from the rooftop, see, Stadia's dead. We were right all along. When I think what I said is, we don't know Stadia's done until we know Stadia's done. So why worry about that right now? You can divest some of your game purchases to other platforms if that makes you more comfortable. But we don't know Stadia's going anywhere. Just because they stopped making games doesn't mean that the platform is going anywhere. And this article just kind of confirms all that. So hopefully in 5 years, we'll be looking back fondly about the second year of Stadia's life and how turbulent it was. And then we just look at all the good stuff that's going to be happening.
Yeah. And you know, people in chat are talking about how, you know, this has this advantage and this has that advantage. Hey, all the different platforms have different advantages and disadvantages. Just because one has a good thing doesn't mean that all of the good things about the others are negated. And that's something that I think a lot of people forget about. Like, I just got my Series X this week. I did spend a bunch of time playing games on my Series X, but I still enjoy Stadia as well because of the convenience factor. Good God, downloading the games on my Series X was such a hassle. I was like going through the Game Pass stuff and I was like, oh, I'll try this, I'll try that. And it was really cool to be able to do that. But then I had to wait. Basically, the first day it was here, I set everything to download and then I went and did other stuff because I could not play until the next day. And then even the next day, I was like, oh, here's a game that I want to try. So I ended up trying that. All right, moving on. I'm going to call a quick audible because we were talking about the Series X real quick. I want to talk about a game that I tried on that just for a little bit. Found out, you know, I've forgotten how to play and I'm terrible at it. But Destiny 2, one of the best games on Stadia is Destiny. Like, Destiny 2 launched with Stadia. It was the first game that I played on Stadia. It ran really, really well.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is the population. Just the population is really, really small. It's funny, there was I don't remember who it is, but there was this person who's a big like Destiny 2 streamer or something. Sure. And he was telling everybody, go play on Stadia because there's no cheaters there, which was cool. It was nice to hear somebody who isn't focused on Stadia saying good things about Stadia. A lot of times people are like, I don't want to hear what you have to say unless you only ever talk about the one thing that I like. Well, this is an example of where having somebody who doesn't only talk about one thing helps the platform. But he was talking about how, you know, the multiplayer is better on on Stadia than it is on other platforms because there's no cheating. Now, that is going to evaporate soon because Bungie is bringing crossplay, and then they accidentally activated crossplay recently, and then they turned it back off. Yeah. What do you think about this, Lloyd?
It's what an accident. You push out a new update because it's a new season, and you forgot to flip the big switch that says don't publish crossplay. But it was pretty awesome to see like so many people jumping in, and it's like, yeah, I was just in a fire team with a buddy who was playing on PlayStation and Xbox and PC and Stadia, and this was great. We could play together. And then unfortunately, Bungie had to turn that off. I guess they weren't quite ready. But what that means is that in the near future, we'll be able to play a lot of Destiny with all of our friends that are on other platforms. And for me, this is like one of the main reasons why I love Stadia so much, and I love Xbox lately so much, is that crossplay just seems to be a given. I play Minecraft with my family on three different console types, so PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, and I'd love to, and I've been doing that with Minecraft Dungeons. Now they've added cloud stuff to Minecraft Dungeons, so you could download your save game on other platforms and continue from where you left off. That is the way that gaming is going to be in the future. You'll be able to pick up a game on your phone or your Xbox or Stadia or Luna or Steam or however you want to play it, and you could just play a game, and then I could say, hey Bill, let's play super awesome Battle Royale 2.0, and he's going to jump on his console, I'll jump on my console. We don't have to think about it, we can just play together. And that's been something that Stadia has been embracing from the start, so it's exciting to see that one of the biggest games is going to be enabling crossplay soon, and hopefully that'll be a lot more Stadia players are just going to jump on because it's just so easy to jump in and play a game by clicking a link on YouTube.
Yeah, there's good and bad to it. The good is that it'll be easier to get matches. The bad is now you're going to have people who are cheating playing on those matches as well. Although for me, I don't tend to play the competitive side of the game very much. I tend to go through and do the like the PvE stuff. I think Forsaken Light or whatever the name of the newest expansion, that's like part of Game Pass, and so I was trying it out, and like the first quest I just kept dying over and over and over and over again. I've completely forgotten how to play this game, and I feel like I need to go back to the very beginning and make a new character and start fresh in order to relearn it, because I was not having fun. I just kept getting killed over and over. I'm not sure if they've increased the difficulty or if maybe I just am terrible. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is, but it was very, very frustrating. Anyway,
go ahead. I would only jump into Crucible when I had to do it for challenges to get whatever currency or whatever I needed for a certain thing. It's like, ah, crap. Okay, got to do Crucible for an hour. This is going to suck. And I jump in and do it and then jump right back out. I see that. I'm the same as you. I don't prefer the multiplayer PvP stuff. But jumping around all the different planets with my friends in PvE, a co-op, is something that I loved so much with Destiny 1. I'd spend nights and weeks playing with my buddies. So the thought of doing that in the future on Destiny 2 on Stadia makes me think that I'm going to be picking up Destiny 2 again because I really haven't played it since launch because I just didn't have the time for another big looter shooter like Destiny 2.
And I want to jump back into that game because I thought, okay, I got Outriders, and Outriders on Stadia was a disaster. I got Outriders on my Xbox. It's still terrible. That game is just bad. I sat there trying to get a group to play with. The game runs a little bit better, but for the most part, like, I couldn't find other people to group with. I finally, after like 10 minutes of waiting, got into a group, and then they kicked me out, and we didn't, like, they kicked me out within, like, I don't know, 30 seconds of the group forming. Outriders is just horrible. And I don't like bad mouthing a game, but I'm just so disappointed. I was looking through the subreddit this morning looking for news stories or stuff like that. And I saw somebody saying, look, I want my money back. I really hope right. that Stadia just offers blanket, or actually I hope everybody just offers a blanket refund on that game right. rather than wait around. It's been what, 45 days since launch, and Square yeah. Enix still hasn't got people can fly to fix the issues. I know that there's many issues, but should not have launched like this. It's so disappointing because I was looking forward to that. But guess what? We have The Division 2. We have Destiny 2. If you're yep. looking for looter shooters, we got Borderlands 3. We got lots of different looter shooters on the platform. So I think that I would really like to be able to remove Outriders from my screen just so I don't have to look at that stupid thing. And if I had paid for it, I'd be even more furious.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think I've played 2.5 hours or 3 hours of Outriders on Stadia, and I've probably played 20 on Xbox just because it works. So yeah, I've seen on the subreddit where some people have been able to get refunds, and it's been a month since the game has been out, and other people call and they can't. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe if you get the right person in supports that will help you out, that would be a good thing. But yeah, Outriders is poor, and I'm sad that the crossplay didn't work with that one.
And just to reiterate, I think it's bad on Xbox too. It's just a bad, it's an unfinished game. It seems like a game that has so much potential, and that's probably why I'm most irritated about it, because there's all this potential there and it just didn't work out. Let's talk about another shooter that I think a lot of people are going to be excited about. There's actually two things here. Ubisoft, over at Cloudy with a Chance of Games, they were looking at the Ubisoft, like the financial report or something like that. And I guess that Ubisoft has announced that Rainbow Six Siege and For Honor and Uno's 50th Anniversary Edition are all on the way to Stadia this quarter. So that's pretty interesting. I know that Rainbow Six Siege, like, that game is incredibly popular.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest games out there right now. That isn't like a battle royale.
Right.
It's huge. And I have friends, personal friends that play games, that have said, I'm not playing on Stadia until I can get Rainbow Six Siege. And I'm like, really? Okay. It'll come at some point, I'm sure, because there's Uplay Plus coming. And then it's taken all this time and finally is dropping. So it made me kind of giggle a little bit when I saw that. But yeah, Rainbow Six Siege is going to be huge for Stadia. Someone that can pick up, as long as there's cross progression, and you can pick up your gameplay from other platforms on Stadia just by clicking a link or starting an app on your phone. I think that's going to be huge for a lot of people.
Look, I'm not really all that interested in Rainbow Six Siege. I don't really care about Uno. And what was the other one? Oh, For Honor. For those of you that don't know, For Honor is like this melee combat, medieval style melee combat, not simulator, but like it's supposed to have very one-to-one kind of controls. I'm not really interested in that either. This doesn't surprise me that we're seeing more Ubisoft titles on Stadia. Clearly Ubisoft, who's been there from the beginning, clearly they have seen that it's worth it to bring their games to the cloud. And I think that that's really, really good. The game that I want to see that they have not announced yet for cloud gaming, for me, I think would be the roller derby game. They showed this off at E3 a couple of years ago. And it looks fantastic. It looks incredibly fun. It looks like it's a game that would really do well as a free-to-play title with cosmetics, as microtransactions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I really like the way that that game looks. I remember you could download the demo, and I downloaded the demo and the server shut down after it had finished downloading because I was at work or something when the demo was available. So I never got to actually try it. But everything that I saw about it looks fantastic, and I would love to be able to play that game on Stadia. It would do incredibly well, I think.
Yeah, the game looks really good. I know that it's the thing that sucks about it is I know some of that game is being developed here in Winnipeg at Ubisoft Winnipeg, which opened a couple of years ago. So it's like, do I know anybody working there that would give me a sneak preview? No, no one does that these days. because yeah, I too want to play that game.
All right, let's move on and talk about the This Week in Stadia. They announced, Street Power Football and 100 Days are both available. Street Power Football is $30 and 100 Days is $22. Those games are both out now. Are you interested? I know that you're somewhat interested in 100 Days. What about Street Power Football?
No, I'm not a big soccer game fan. So this isn't a game that I'd be, super excited to play. It looks cool though. People used to like playing FIFA Street and stuff like that, or Mario Soccer. This looks similar to a lot of that. It's like NBA Jam for soccer or football for everywhere else in the world other than North America, I guess. Yeah, it looks interesting. The winemaking game is a game that I eventually will get when I have a lull in my gaming. I love games like SimCity and The Sims, and mm-hmm. Being able to be relaxing while building up a winery would be a good thing for me. So down the road, I'll pick it up. Not something that I wanted to buy at launch, though.
This seems like the 100 Days game to me seems like a perfect candidate for one of those games that has the touch where Stadia is supposed to allow you to just touch the screen. Correct. And have its own inputs that way rather direct than a fake joystick.
I think they call it direct touch or whatever.
Right, yeah, that's like it.
That. A game like this, I've actually played a couple games recently that would be so amazing if that support was there for people that want to play on their phones. But yeah, 100 Days would definitely be a good one for that.
It definitely seems like a game that you would find on like the App Store or the Play Store.
Yeah.
Rather than on like consoles. I'm curious how it plays with a controller. It's definitely interesting. Then they did next up on Stadia, Super Animal Royale. They said it's coming soon. So before it was like the developers had mentioned that it was coming to Stadia. Now Stadia is talking about it. So I'm guessing probably within a month. And then this one is one that Lloyd will be excited about because he loves him some Shantae games. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. You've probably already played this 3-4 times, right?
I don't even know where I played it or when I played it. All the names for the Shantae games have kind of all blurred into one now. Yeah. So I don't know which one is which. This one came out a few years ago, I remember. I'm pretty sure I played it on the Switch, I want to say, or maybe it was the Wii U. I can't remember. Probably the Switch. It's a great title. And I love Shantae games. I love kind of the old school platformer feel of games like that. But man, Animal Battle Royale, Animal Royale, I guess, Super Animal Royale, looks like a game I'm just going to have so much fun with. It looks ridiculous with the super cute animals that are all angry and mad and firing guns and jumping from falcons instead of a battle bus. It looks like this is going to be a heck of a lot of fun game.
Absolutely. I love the trailer. We talked about it a little bit last week. And I guess this is a game that's already this is already out on other platforms. So it's something that's now coming to Stadia. I do hope that it has crossplay because that's like whenever you're talking about a game that is mostly focused or that's focused on multiplayer, right, the population of whatever platform you're playing on becomes incredibly important. Now, as a free-to-play game, that has a lot lower of a barrier to entry because now anybody can try it out. And so I think that this can easily find a good a high enough population on Stadia, whereas a game like Outcasters, which was really, really fun multiplayer nonsense, it just doesn't have enough people to play with anymore because the hype went from way up here to kind of drop down after a bit. And because it dropped down, now it's harder to find people to play with. And that's too bad because it's a really good game. I think that that's one of those games along with Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle, should be a free-to-play game with microtransactions, because you would make they'd still make a bunch more money, and you would have a much larger population of people to play with.
100%. And we talked about this. We talked about free-to-play games so much over the years before any free-to-play games were even thought of on Switch. Or, well, I guess they were thought of, but they weren't officially confirmed. And we said there is no way that Google's going to be able to have a free-to-play game available for everybody. It's going to at least need Pro. Well, proved us wrong. Google apparently has other ideas. And the fact that you don't need to pay anything, any money, you don't have to get a subscription, you don't have to buy a controller, you don't have to buy any hardware. You just click a link, make sure you have a Google Stadia account. If you have a Gmail account, that's easy to set up. And then jump in and you're playing Super Animal Royale without giving any cash or anything. Very cool. And I think this is going to be huge for the future of Stadia, getting more titles like this one. Obviously Fortnite would be the best one, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare, those two would be fantastic. Even Apex would be great, but I don't see any of those three coming anytime soon. So hopefully a lot of people are loving Super Animal Royale, and the fact that you can play with other people on other consoles as well is going to be huge.
Yeah, Clive made sure to let us know who he's follow him. He's also a content creator, but he said it does have crossplay. It says so in the post. I couldn't remember from my reading, and I was talking at the same time. All right. So that is it for all of the news. I believe we hit everything. Anything that we missed, Lloyd, before we go to the messages that people had sent throughout the show?
I don't think so. I think we kind of covered everything. This is another week where we saw two blog posts from Google, which is a great thing. I hope this is kind of the new normal for Google to come out with their this week on Tuesdays, and then hey, look at these awesome games on like Thursday, Friday. It's great. Great to reassure the community, and I guess the gaming community at large, not just the Stadia users, that hey, there is awesome things that are happening on Google Stadia.
Yeah, and Anon in chat says Riders Republic. Yeah, that's another Ubisoft game that, despite what I usually enjoy, I am very much looking forward to. I think that looks incredibly fun. And then somebody mentioned that Google I/O is happening on Tuesday. I'm not expecting a bunch of Stadia news. I just don't think that we're going to see a bunch of Stadia news. I feel like that Google wants to... Look, if they had called it Google Games, then I think that they would be putting it out there as part of Google. But because they called it Stadia, I feel like they were trying to distance it from the Google brand. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is, you know, that remains to be seen. But I think that I'm anticipating that we probably won't hear much about it. Maybe, no, we're definitely not going to hear anything about the Sabrina support, because I remember somebody had said we're still on our current timeline, but we're not going to be mentioning anything to do with Google TV and Stadia at Google I/O. So I don't think we're going to hear anything about it at I/O at all. I'm sorry. Yeah. And then Mike Lee says, Hailstorm.
Yeah.
Hailstorm? When are we going to hear something, Lloyd?
I think Project Hailstorm is dead. If anything, I thought, I would think that maybe Hailstorm was something that was being worked on by SG&E and it's gone, or maybe Hailstorm was an April Fool's joke. It looked like they had some other April Fool's jokes in the Stadia app at one point that never surfaced. So yeah, I don't think Hailstorm is anything anymore. And if anything, it's changed code names so that people stop talking about it.
It's possible, but I don't think it was any of those things, because of the fact where you could request a Hailstorm. Like, that doesn't seem like it's a game that somebody was working on, because you don't request. I don't know. I think it's something. I think it's still there.
Maybe not a game, but game technology or something like that was being worked on by SG&E. Because it after the announcement of the shuttering of SG&E, the Hailstorm left the binary. It was no longer in the APK. Any sort of reference to Hailstorm kind of went away, right? So yeah, who knows? Well, I guess we'll probably find out at some point. We'll have to see what it is, if it really is anything. It could have just been a red herring to kind of throw people off, because everybody is breaking down those APKs. Or sorry, Jem is breaking down those APKs. Everybody else is using his work.
Yeah, and Jem in chat says specifically, Hailstorm was weird from the start. The code in the APK was never part of the internal code. It felt more like a message for hype for 9to5 Google and me to find. I don't know. I think that's a lot of effort for no benefit. I feel like it's a thing that we're going to see in the future, and they put it in there and they were like, oh, we shouldn't have. No, we don't need that in there. We're not ready for that yet. So they yanked it back out. I'm not sure. But hey, you know what? I'm fine being wrong. We'll find out, or we will never find out. And we'll be talking about Project Hailstorm 5 years from now on episode 703 or something. I don't know.
Right, right.
All right. Moving on. Anthony Talcott sent in a super chat. Thank you very much for the support, Anthony. He sent in a super chat and he said, a couple of days ago, someone in the Discord, by the way, if you don't know, we have a community Discord. There's a link in the description down below that will take you to that community Discord. Join it. Have conversations with us even when we're not live or not in the YouTube chats. A couple days ago, someone in the Discord searched for Stadia live streams and couldn't find any. In my opinion, Google needs to promote streaming via Stadia, or at the very least, help promote current channels. All right. Helping to promote current channels, I think, is something that Google is not going to do, because they aren't going to do something that they're not in control of. Whenever you've seen a Stadia, like when they had those two people whose names I've forgotten, it doesn't matter. They had these two big YouTubers and they were doing some like streaming stuff. And they had everything planned out ahead of time. They were told, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. And they, of course, they have their personality, but they had NDAs signed ahead of time. They had specific agreements where they couldn't talk to people about their experience. Like, they had all of these things in place. They're not going to do that with somebody small like Lloyd and I or any of the other Stadia content creators. They're just not going to go through that effort for that small of an audience. So right. I don't see Google promoting the current channels. I do think that it would be good for Google to say, hey, big streamer, why don't you stream this game? That's great. But then as soon as anybody finds out that it's an ad, that it's paid for, it loses all any kind of authenticity that it would have otherwise had. Like that one YouTuber who was the Destiny YouTuber, where he was like, hey, I've been playing on Stadia because there's no cheaters. Like, that wasn't paid for. That wasn't an ad. And so it was well received. As soon as it's including paid promotion, people are like, yeah, no, thank you. We're not interested in that. It just doesn't feel authentic. So I don't know if that's going to be the case going forward. Another thing that you have to keep in mind is streaming on Stadia, kind of a hassle. I mean, look, you can stream directly from Stadia just using the built-in stuff. It's not a great experience for the viewer because there's no camera. The microphone isn't a good microphone usually, and it's just not a great experience. If you want to stream from like the Chromecast, you have to have something that rips out HDCP. Not everybody's going to have that. You have to have a capture card, and you have to have good enough internet in order to both download the game and then upload the game again. And go ahead, Lloyd. I think I'm kind of waffling here.
Yeah, it's when you're streaming Stadia, you have to be, your network has to be fast enough to capture the 4K stream that's coming towards you. You have to have a capture card that can properly process that. And then you have to have software that will then bundle that that video frame and upload it to YouTube using even more bandwidth. So it is really tough to do. The direct Stadia streaming stuff doesn't have any of those limitations, but as Bill said, not having a camera there cuts a lot of the I don't even know how to say it. People don't like streams without cameras generally, so it's tough in that regard. So I don't know what they could do. There's people in the chat room, a lot of people are chatting about it, saying Google needs to have some sort of streaming program where people can join it and incentivize people streaming on it. I don't know if incentivizing it is a good idea, but having something that where you can say, hey, I'm a Stadia streamer primarily, these are the games I'm planning on streaming, and then when you're streaming those games, they appear on YouTube searches, that would be great. That type of stuff was happening when YouTube gaming was around. You could see everybody that was streaming Destiny 2 and all this stuff and click those links, just like you can on YouTube, or on Twitch rather. But then when they got rid of YouTube gaming, that kind of all went away. I hope that code is sitting there at some point, and eventually it'll come back, and there'll be a great way to see everybody that's streaming Resident Evil Village when you click the Resident Evil Village icon at the bottom of a YouTube listing. But we'll have to wait and see if that is something that ever comes back.
Yeah, somebody who's looking for somebody who's streaming specifically on Stadia, I don't personally understand that. I can understand looking for somebody streaming a particular game. Like, I want to watch somebody play Destiny 2. And if they're playing Destiny 2 on a PlayStation or on an Xbox or on Stadia or on a PC or on GeForce Now, I really don't care. I just want to watch somebody play that particular game. Now, if somebody was looking for somebody playing Orcs Must Die 3, well, okay, I can understand why you couldn't find anybody to watch playing that game. The game came out more than a year ago, I think, at this point. It's an incredibly good game, but it's not going to have a super long shelf life because it's not a multiplayer focused game. So
right.
Like that kind of like finding somebody who's streaming a specific Stadia game, I can understand why you would want that. But trying to find somebody who's streaming a multi-platform game on Stadia, I don't understand why you care. Do you understand why people would care which platform you're playing on, other than I want to play with them?
I don't think so. Personally, I'm the same as you. If I want to see someone playing a game, I don't really care where they're playing that game. Oops, I muted myself. Unless there's platform specific features, like when Marvel's Avengers comes out and Spider-Man is available, I'm going to watch some streams of people playing Spider-Man because it's a PlayStation exclusive and I don't currently have a PS5. Maybe by the time that it comes out, I'll have a PS5. But if I don't, I'm going to want to specifically seek out someone streaming that thing because it's a platform specific feature. I could also see the same on Stadia. If you want to see a version of Stream Connect, you want to see how that looks. That makes total sense. But for random games that are multi-platform, personally, I don't really care where people are playing them. I'll just watch them play it. But everybody has their own likes and want. So I can understand that there's a want out there. I don't know if that want is so large that YouTube or Google, rather, would devote cycles of development time to getting that stuff working. But hopefully in the future, we'll have that at some point in some way.
Yeah, Jerome in chat says you'd want to see how it looked and played on a particular system, I would think. And while that's true, if you really want to see what it looks like and plays like on a particular system, you're better off watching a video than a stream, because a stream is going to be super lossy. When the game comes to me, now I have to encode it and then send it out at a lower quality than you would see if you were playing the game. So it's better to watch like pre-recorded stuff if you just want to see what the game looks and plays like on your particular platform of choice. So that's something to keep in mind. However, I would love if you could go into, say, YouTube, and this really seems more like a YouTube problem than a Stadia problem, but I would love to be able to go into YouTube and say, all right, show me this game, only speaking this language, only playing on this platform, and let me filter stuff down until I get to the point where I'm like, okay, there's like three streams available based on the things that I'm interested in. And now I can click on something. That would be amazing. UI is awful, horrible for live streams.
It is. Yeah, I would love that. That would be great. I don't know what else to say. Everyone has their own wants and likes, and I fully understand that. But we'll have to see how much time Google can devote to something like that. The best part is the fact that there's a want there means that there's a want there. Mm-hmm. And any sort of want for the platform is good because it shows that there's growth and there's interest. So I'm sure Google will take all of these requests to heart. Whether they can develop something and release it, who knows? But them getting this feedback would be a good thing.
Yeah, and don't think for a second that I'm saying that you're wrong for wanting that. Right. I'm just saying I don't understand why anybody cares. That doesn't mean that you're wrong for caring, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode of StadiaCast. If you are here with us and you haven't already clicked on that thumbs up button, do us a favor. Click on that button. It tells everybody that this is good content and that maybe YouTube should show it to other people. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. If you have subscribed and you haven't clicked that bell, that means you're not getting notifications about the videos that we're posting. And that means you might miss out on some content that we make. So please consider clicking on that bell. And William Miller just sent us a thumbs up through Super Chat. So thank you very much, William. We do appreciate it. Anything to say before we get out of here, Lloyd?
No, nothing. Get out there and play some games. Go make some wine or go kill some zombies. It's amazing that we have a platform now where we have that option. You can kill zombies, you can play Pac-Man, or you can just sit there and peacefully grow wine and grow a vineyard. So many great experiences on Stadia. So get out there and play and let us know what you're playing.
Adios, everybody.
Later.